لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. وقال سيدنا مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أصدق حديث كتاب الله، وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. إن الذين يغضون أصواتهم عند رسول الله أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم للتقوى لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم. Our brothers and sisters in Islam, our praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عما يقولون علوا كبيرا. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy, for his guidance. And we seek Allah's forgiveness and his protection from all the ills of the dunya and of the akhirah. I was thinking about adab today, and the khutbah was going to be about adab, because adab is a very important part of Islam. And adab has different translations, but you can translate it as protocol. It's a way that you do things in the religion of Islam. We don't just do everything any kind of way. Anything doesn't go with respect to the way people behave. And that's called adab, the plural being adab. But I was thinking about it because I got information about a very dear friend of ours and a teacher. His name is Al-Hajj Abdullah Hassan Ghanistani. He's 93 years old, mashallah, may Allah preserve him. But he's in a nursing home now. And you know, he's sick, his health is not doing very well, but I remember him from when I was a baby. And so I put on Facebook, I said, anybody remember Dr. Hassan Abdullah Ghanistani? And everybody started to put up, yeah, he was my teacher, he was my son's teacher, he taught me Arabic, oh, I interviewed him, I met him just now. And one of the things that he used to talk about was adab. He used to always talk about adab, how you behave, how you do things, you know, where we show respect, you know, where we show reverence. That's important for a Muslim. That everybody is, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created people equal, and the best of those to Allah are those who have the most taqwa, and we don't know who that is. But there is a certain standard of conduct that we have, that we should have, you know, with respect to our religion and religious principles. And that made me think about talking about adab today. So there was a verse in the Quran. Now, one thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does in the Quran is he teaches people adab. He teaches them adab, how to behave. And this is not something you learn one day when, you know, nobody I'm certainly not, have not perfected it. But it's a certain way that you behave yourself, the way you talk to people, you know, whether or not you, you know, walk down the street eating a sandwich with food all over you, you sit down, you know, and eat your food right, you know, whether or not you clean up after yourself, whether or not you don't, whether or not, you know, you wear clean clothes, whether or not you don't, all that has to do with other. You know, whether or not you're in the masjid yelling and screaming, or you're just in the masjid, you walk in and you have a certain sakina, you have a certain reverence. That has to do with adab, how you deal with Quran has to do with adab, the respect for the Quran, the respect for hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If somebody's coming to you, they're saying Allah said this, Allah said that, and you're like ignoring them, you're like arguing with them, you're arguing with kitab Allah, not from a scholarly position, but you're just arguing with the book. That has to do with adab, that's bad adab. Bad manners. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in hadith, he said, adabani rabbi wa ahsana ta'dibi. He says, my Lord has taught me adab and he's done a good job at it. Because throughout the time that the Quran was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah is teaching him adab. He's teaching the Prophet alayhi salam adab. The Prophet was imbued with good character. Allah says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Verily you are upon perfect character or great character. But throughout the process, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the Prophet alayhi salam mannerisms, how to deal with certain things. You know, how not to get upset on certain things. I mean, for example, when the mushrikeen would say certain things that would, you know, were noticeably bothersome to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah would say things like, you know, وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ إِنَّا نَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. Don't let what they say bother you, because we know what they do in secret, what they do in open. Or he would say things like, وَذَرْدِ وَمَكَذِبِينَ أُولَى نَعْمَتِي وَمَا هِلْهُمْ. Right? He would say, leave me alone with those who reject, you know, this message. Meaning that, okay, you give the message, but don't get all upset if they don't accept the message, Rasulullah. You can get the Prophet, you know, way of handling. And he also would give instructions to the Muslims on how to deal with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because the Prophet was a regular man. You know, he was a human being, he was not himself divine. And so you see some verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give the Muslims instruction on how they should be with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. One of those examples is in Surah Al-Hujurat. You see a lot of it in Surah Al-Hujurat and other surahs, but the surah starts off with, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. It starts off by saying, O you who believe, don't be so forthcoming in the presence of Allah and His Messenger, meaning with your ideas, your opinions. I mean, let the Prophet speak. He's the Prophet. He knows what he's doing. One time, this verse came down about Abu Bakr and Umar, because they were the closest companions to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So many times verses came down, would come down about one or both of them. And they became also examples for us of as companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But when a delegation from Bani Tamim came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Medina, and what would happen was different tribes, they would become Muslim. And then, if the chief of the tribe became Muslim, everybody Muslim. So if the chief became Muslim, he go back and say, hey, look, hey y'all, guess what? We Muslim now. Everybody said, all right, you know. And that was, I guess it was a good thing. So when Bani Tamim came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when they were getting ready to leave, as was the Prophet's habit, when the tribes came, when they got ready to go, he would elect an emir from that group. He would say, okay, now so-and-so, you're the emir of them now. And they go back, and that person will be the emir, as far as the Muslims. And so Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he said, Ya Rasulullah, Lo Amarta al-Aqra ibn Habis. So I think you should make al-Aqra ibn Habis, you should make them the emir of Bani Tamim. And Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, I think you should make al-Qaqa' ibn Ma'bad the emir. So Abu Bakr said to Umar, why are you trying to go against me? Why are you going against me? And Umar said to him, I'm not going against you, you're going against me. And they started to argue. And they started to raise their voices. And the Prophet ﷺ was sitting right there. And they arguing like he ain't nowhere around. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the verse, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yadayi Allahi wa rasulihi wattaqullaha inna Allaha sami'un alim. He said, oh you who believe, don't be so forthcoming in the presence of Allah and His Messenger, but on the contrary, have taqwa of Allah. Verily Allah is all-hearing and all-knowing. But then the way Allah does with adab in the Quran is many times when there's an issue that has to be addressed when it comes to our character. And also the Prophet used to do the same thing later. He would address the issue at hand, but then after he addressed the issue at hand, he would go on and address subsequent issues as if to say, well, now that I'm on the subject about adab, there's some more stuff I gotta tell you. And even the Prophet ﷺ, part of his sunnah, and ulama say, this is the sunnah of responding to questions. Even sometimes, if you ask me a question, sometimes people complain to me, maybe give a long answer. And I'm gonna tell you why. Part of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is part of the adab, because see, Allah is still teaching the Prophet the adab, how to be as a prophet. And the Prophet is teaching us adab, how to be as believers, and we pattern ourselves after. That's why he says, Inni bu'ithtu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq. He says, I was sent to complete the excellent standard of character. And so the Prophet used to do the same thing. One issue may come up, but he'd do several issues. Like the time they came to the Prophet ﷺ about the Bahr. He was asking him concerning the seas. Ya Rasulullah, we're fishermen. And we go out upon the high seas. And we take with us a little bit of water for drinking. If we use that water to make wudu, we're going to go thirsty. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Bahr tuhur ma'uhu. He says, as far as the sea, its water is pure. I mean, you can use it to purify yourself, and it's also pure itself if it happens to get on you. But then he said, Hillun maytatu. وَحِلٌ مَيْتَتُ And it's food that you find in the sea that even if it's dead, it's still halal. So that's how the Prophet would do. He would deal with multiple issues at the same time. This is the teaching methodology of Rasulullah ﷺ. And also the way that the Lord dealt with it. So after Umar and Abu Bakr was raising their voices in the presence of Rasulullah ﷺ, Allah sent down a verse, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yaday Allahi wa rasulihi wattaqullaha inna Allaha sami'un alim. He says, oh you who believe, Don't be forthcoming. Don't be all bold in the presence of Allah and His Messenger. Have taqwa of Allah. Verily, Allah is all hearing and all knowing. Then he said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. He says, oh, you who believe, don't raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَجْحَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْدِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. And he says, and don't talk to him in the same manner as you talk openly to each other, lest your deeds be nullified and you don't even realize it. And so Allah, at this point, is teaching the believer to have a certain level of respect for Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Because they was thinking, man, he just like us. Because he's human. Human beings have human traits. So even though he's the leader, he's Rasulullah, he's still a human being. He still has to eat. He still gets tired. He still gets upset. He still has issues, his family, so on, wives, business issues that he has to deal with. So, but he's Rasulullah. He's the one in whom is the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, وَلَا تَرَفُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. Don't raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet. Now, many of our scholars, because the Prophet is now dead, alayhi salatu wasalam, during the time of the Prophet, after that verse, it was expressly prohibited if the Prophet is talking for anybody else to be talking. And if the Prophet is talking, for anybody to even attempt to over-talk Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, to talk louder to him or talk down at him or over-talk him or over-argue with him. That's why you would see some of the companions would take a very, very harsh attitude to people who had an issue with Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, even to the point of death, when the Prophet made a judgment one time on an issue, and the man said, Ya Rasulullah, you didn't do me fair. And then he went to Abu Bakr, he said, you know, the Prophet saw some judge between me and this person, and you know, he ain't do me right. And Abu Bakr said, what did the Prophet say? He said, so-and-so, he said, well, aren't you satisfied? He says, no. So Abu Bakr said, I can't do nothing for you. He went to Umar ibn Khattab. He said, the Prophet judged between this, me and this so-and-so, and man, he did me wrong. Someone said, wait a minute. You're not satisfied with the judgment of Rasulullah? He said, no, I'm not. Someone said, I'm gonna ask you again. You're not satisfied with the judgment of Rasulullah? I said, no! I asked the man. He said, you're not satisfied with the judgment of Rasulullah? The man said, no, I'm not. So he asked him the fourth time, and Umar said, okay, and he killed him. Because that's how fervent they was after Allah teaching them the adab of Rasulullah. So when there is hadith, and when there is wahi, that's why we don't have any other opinion. That's why Allah says, مَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمَ خِيَرَةٌ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. He says, it's not for any believing man or any believing woman that if Allah and His Messenger has decreed in an affair that they have any other choice. This is part of the adab. Now, does each and every one of us follow everything that Rasulullah said? No, I don't think so. I know I don't. I try my best. But that's one thing, and there's another thing to be bold about your opposition to Rasulullah. You're bold to your opposition to Rasulullah. Like, you know, people who decide that they're going to abandon this affair, this affair, whether it's Jumu'ah, whether it's hijab, whether, you know, it's drinking or buying and selling alcohol, whether it's anything like that, and become bold about it. I'm bold about it. Even though Allah says this, the Prophet says this, and you're bold about it, you know. And ulama, you know, they discourage us from doing that because it shows bad adab. I'm not encouraging anybody to sin, but if you're going to sin, don't be a mujahir bil ithm. Don't be the sinner who, I'm just out there sinning, y'all. Look at me. Like the Muslims put their sins on Facebook. Yeah, me, this is me and my girl just came back from the club. Sound like her. Me and my girl, sound like her, ma, can you help me out? Me and my girl had an argument last night. I need some advice, inshallah. Don't be bold, because it puts you in a bad position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so for the early Muslims, this is why the Sahaba, those close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, developed a certain decorum of how they dealt with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even to the point that Allah taught them, he says, Ya ayyuhalil amanu, إذا ناجيتم الرسول فقدموا بين يدي نجواكم صدقة ذلك يقر لكم وأطهر. He says, oh, you who believe, if you want to have a private discussion with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, فقدموا بين يدي نجواكم صدقة, then you should offer at his feet some sadaqah, like, Ya Rasulullah, I want to talk to you about something. And so, hold on, wait a minute. This is some sadaqah for the poor, because you just give me a special audience. And we used to always, when we go to our shuyukh and ask questions and so on, we always bring some kind of sadaqah, some dates, a book, something. Shaykh, alhamdulillah, thank you for taking the time to listen to, you know, I have to say, personal audience, by the way, this is some sadaqah for, you know, based upon that. But then Allah said to them, وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْدِكُمْ لِبَعْدِ أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. He says, and don't speak to him in your open discussion any way you speak to each other. And before that, many of the Muslims would say, hey Muhammad! Muhammad! They would just call him out like that. Like he just a Joe Blow. And after that verse, then they all had to talk to him differently. They would say, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Nabi, Ya Mustafa. Call him by a title, because that's what's due to him. And even when we have people in our own midst, we should give them the respect. You should respect people for who they are. If you go to a court, you should say, Your Honor, give the judge some respect. Whether you agree, it's not sharia, all right? No, you should have some respect for stuff. Respect your teachers. You know, one time I had to really respect my son. I had to discipline my son. The hardest I've ever disciplined him. It was because the way he disrespected his Quran teacher. He said, teacher, I said, I don't care what. He is teaching you Kitabillah. And you're going to respect him. And you're going to talk to him a certain way. You're going to talk to him in a way that he wants to be spoken to. That's part of the Sunnah of Islam. Is it showing respect? For respect is due. Showing respect for our elderly. You don't just run up on an elderly Muslim like he's just somebody in, you know, in the neighborhood. Man, you should have some sort of reverence, some sort of respect and honor. The Prophet said, the one who does not have mercy on our young and reverence for our old, he's not from us. I mean, he's not following my adab. You give people different respect based upon their station. You don't put anybody down because that's not respectful either. In fact, that's what's called kibr. when the Prophet ﷺ, when he asked him about in the hadith, he said, لَا يَرْخَلُوا جَنَّةِ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَلَ ذَرَّةٍ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ. The person who has a weight of a mustard seed of kibr in his heart won't enter Jannah. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَ الرَّجُلَ يُحِبُّ أَن يَكُونَ ثَوْبَهُ حَسْنًا وَنَعْلَهُ حَسْنًا. He said, Ya Rasulullah, men like to have nice thobes and nice thobes. And the Prophet said, the very Allah is beautiful. He loves beauty. Al-kibaru batru haqwa ghamatu nas. He says, but the arrogance I'm talking about is when you reject the truth and when you put that on the people. That's not what we're saying. But you give the people the respect that they're due. You give your teachers, you give your imams, you give our shuyukh, our ulama, you give them the respect that they're due. You don't just, don't think that everybody's on the same level socially. As far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody knows, inshallah. You know, we don't know who has the most taqwa. Person can be very important, but not have any taqwa. But the Prophet himself used to show reverence for different people based upon their station. When Sa'd ibn Mu'adh came with the sadaqat, and the Sahaba were sitting down, the Prophet said, "Qumu," he says, "Qumu ila sayyidikum." He said, "Stand up for your master." Just to show, this is Sa'd, you know, he was a very well-known Sahabi that, you know, was elderly, older. The Prophet says, show some respect for him. Stand up. I've heard people say things like, no, you shouldn't stand, but I ain't standing for nobody. And, no, that's just, no, that's just jahiliyyah. You have respect. People. Because Allah mentioned, even in this verse, if you read in Surah Al-Hujarat, after he said, وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهَرِي بَعَدِكُمْ لِبَعَدِ, and don't talk to him openly in the same way you speak to each other, meaning don't talk to him like you're talking to yourselves, you talk to him like he's Rasulullah. Then he said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عَنْدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أولئك الذين امتهن الله قلوبهم للتقوى. He says, very those people who hush their voices in the presence of Rasulullah, those are the people that Allah has prepared their hearts for taqwa. This verse came down after Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, because when the first verse came down about being don't raise your voices in the presence, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, Wallahi, from now on I'm going to talk to the Prophet like he's my little, you know, like he's my small brother. Meaning that I'm going to speak to him real soft. Ya Rasulullah, can I do this? So and so. Ya Rasulullah, what do you need? Like that. And Abu Bakr made that pledge. Because Abu Bakr is Siddiq, and even Allah has bore witness to his fadl, was somebody who really understood adab. That's what was they were looking for. They wanted to know, okay, what's the adab, Ya Rasulullah? What's the, how do I do it? Because all of us aren't born knowing adab. Some people got to teach it to. Some people, they may have it in them already to a certain degree. Some of us are rough around the edges. We have to learn adab. And this is how some of the Sahaba was. So Abu Bakr Siddiq said, Wallahi, from now on, I'm going to always talk to the Prophet ﷺ in this real soft way, real, you know, polite way. So Allah revealed the verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Excuse me. عند رسول الله أولئك الذين امتهن الله قلوبهم للتقوى. Those people who lower their voice in the presence of Rasulullah, those people Allah has prepared their hearts for taqwa. لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم. For them, it's forgiveness from Allah and a great reward. And then he said, إن الذين ينادونك من وراء الحجرات أخطرهم لا يعقلون. He says, those people that call you from behind the rooms, most of them, they don't know any better. And this is what I mean from Jahiliyyah, because some of them used to come you know, the Prophet had his wives and his houses, their apartments were around the masjid. This is the masjid and the apartment, his wife. So they would stand on it, because everybody wanted to spend time with Rasulullah. So they would stand out and say, Muhammad, when you coming out? When you coming down? And they'd be calling them, you know. They would just walk up, especially some of the Bedouins, because the Bedouins, they didn't really have, they didn't know Adam as much as the people in the cities. Even sometimes the Sahabis are kind of like when the Bedouin comes, they ask questions, because they would ask questions that the normal companion in the city wouldn't ask. The Bedouins like, I don't care, let me ask you a question right now. Because that's how Bedouins are, you know. They're kind of rough. The desert is rough. So Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءَ الْهُجَرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Those people who call you from beyond the rooms, from beyond the apartments, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Most of them, they don't know any better. وَلَوْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. But if they would show some patience until you come out, that's better for them. And Allah is forgiving and merciful. So you see, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the adab, he's still using great amounts of adab himself. Thank you, brother. So even though Allah is teaching adab, he's teaching it in a very soft way. And all over in the Kitab, this is how Muslims, you know. For example, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tadkhulu buyutan ghayra buyutikum hatta tasta'nisu wa tusallimu ala ahliha. That tells with adab, where Allah says, O you who believe, لَا تَدْخُلُوا بِيُوتًا غَيْرَ بِيُوتِكُمْ. Don't enter houses other than your own houses. حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا. Until you make yourself known. وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. And you say, Salaamu Alaikum to the companions. Because before that, they didn't do that. They just bust up in your house. In some places, they do that in America. They just bust up in your house. What are you doing? You know? So Allah is teaching them da'wah. He says, oh, you believe. Don't enter houses other than your own houses. حَتَّى تَسْتَعْنِسُ. Until you make yourself known. وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. You know? And you give salams to the companions. And then Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ اِرْجِعُوا فَرْجِعُوا هُوَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. And if they someone tell you, back up, it's better for you. And they would ask the Prophet, you know, how did the Prophet show people how the adab of entering somebody's house? Yeah. Then he said, إِنَّمَا إِسْتِئْذَانُ مِنْ أَجْلِ another. He says, asking permission to enter, that the reason is because of the another. So the eyes won't fall on anything inside the house. So, you know, when you knock on somebody's door and it's slammed, the adab is, you ain't all up in there. Let me see if somebody in there. Salaam! You don't do that. You knock on the door. Salaam alaikum. You knock hard enough that they can hear. They can hear you. So if they say come in, you come in. They say sit down, sit down. If they say come back, you say come back. If they don't answer and you know that they're home, unless you think there's some kind of emergency, then maybe they don't want you there. They don't ready for a visit right there. It all has to do with adab. You know, how we go about dealing with each other. But the first adab is to have a certain adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have some sort of reverence. You have some shame. You have to have shame in the religion. You have to have shame. And it's hard because we live in a world where there's no shame. You know, it's no shame. And the less shame that people show, seems like, you know, the more it's celebrated. To the point that we say, ain't no shame in my game. I mean, but that's just jahiliyyah. That's how Shaitan would get you to take on popular slogans and popular thinking that it's cool, man, don't shame my game. You say, no, it should be some shame in your game. Because haya u shu'bat min al iman. Because shame is a branch of faith. Shame is a branch of faith. Yeah. You know, one time there was a man criticizing another man for being too bashful. The Prophet said, don't criticize him for that, because that's part of faith. Bashfulness. You know, you show, even sometimes when you see that what you're doing is really bothering somebody, you back up. That's adab. You don't just keep on going. Let me just slow down. This may not be the right time for that. Maybe the right time to argue, right time to, you know. Even, you know, fitna, you know, this is a, you know, if you're the cause of a fitna, you're spreading fitna, you know, this is bad adab. You know, that's why when the fitna came about Sayyidatina Aisha in Surah Al-Nur, Allah said, وَلَوْلَا إِذَا سِمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا وَقَالُوا هَذَا بُحْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. And this is Allah teaching adab again. He says, how come? Because what happened was somebody started to spread slander. And then it started to spread. Everybody's talking about this. They're backbiting about Aisha and the one of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu. His name was Safwan ibn Abi Ma'attal. And they were talking about them, and it was spread, and everybody was talking. You know, that's how scandal gets in our community. Somebody starts talking, somebody starts to rumor, and everybody's there. And Allah says, وَلَوْلَا إِذَا سِمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا وَقَالُوا هَذَا بُحْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. He says, how come the believing men and women, when they heard this, you did not assume good of yourself, good of each other, and say, this is clear calumny. Because that was the adab. That's why when people come and they call with this and talk with that, you know, the adab is to say, brother, sister, is that what you called me for? Because if it is, the conversation is over. If you call me for some good, alhamdulillah. Because you want to show good adab. You know, you don't just go after everything, after every scandal. No. But it has to do with adab. You know, when you're in the masjid, for example, this is why we don't like when people are in the masjid and we're reading hadith and you're talking, you're yelling. You should listen. Even if it's after the salah, you come for the salah of Isha, you come for the salah and someone reading hadith. I never really felt too good about walking out with somebody reading hadith Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Like, call Rasulullah. I got. Okay, maybe you might have to go, mashallah. Look, I'm just saying, just to me, like, let me listen to part of the hadith. Let me listen to the hadith verse. Let me get something. You said, call Allah Rasulullah. Hold on, let me see. I can do 2 minutes for some ilm. I can do 3 minutes for some. I can do 4 minutes for some ilm. You do 2 minutes for a commercial on television. It's just adab. Your dad. There were three people sitting in the masjid one time. And, the Prophet said someone sitting in the masjid and they had a halaqah. A circle of ilm, he was teaching and talking to them. And three subsequent men came in. The first man came in and he sought a position in the circle, like, you're not wiggling your way in, which is also adab that Allah teaches in Kitab. He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, idha qila lakum tafassahu fil majalisi fasfahu yafsahullahu lakum, wa idha qila nshuzu fanshuzu yarafa'allahu alladhina amanu minkum walladhina utul ilma darajat. All this has to do with adab. So before I tell you the story, Allah says, O you who believe, إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَاسْفَحُوا يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. He says, when it's said to you, open up the spaces in your city. تَفَسَّحُوا means, somebody's trying to sit in. Let them in. Let me move over, man. Let me make some room. Come on. That's called tafassuh fil majalis. Fasfahu yafsih Allah. Then he says, because Allah will open up for you. That's how deep adab is. Wida qidan shuzu. And when it's said to you, tighten up. Fan shuzu. Tighten up. Allah says, يَرَفَعَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرْجَاتٍ. Allah raises those from amongst you who believe and who have been given knowledge and levels. I had to tell you that. That's just that beautiful adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one time, the Prophet was sitting in the masjid. They were sitting in a circle. And a man came in. And the man saw it. A space in the circle. He wanted some tafassuh so he can sit down. So they made room and he sat down. And then another man came in after that. He didn't get in the circle. He got right behind the circle. Like, I ain't getting in. I ain't committed. When you get in the circle, you commit. When you get in the circle, when you get in the halqatul ilm, you're committing to the halqa. This goes back for hundreds of years. When you see a halqa in any of the masajid of ilm, anywhere in our great Muslim countries where you have many scholars and many majalis. When I was in Sudan, you go to the masjid after, it would be in the masjid al-Jami' in downtown Omdurman, they always have the daras of tafsir and hadith in this big masjid, and they always have a halqa. And if you go down, if you get in the halqa, you win the joint, man. Because they'd always be tight. You didn't have to get in. They would have halaqat, but they would recite Quran. If you get in the halqa, man, I mean, when it's your turn, you're going to recite. So the first man got in. The second man, he got behind. So he can listen, but I ain't, And the third man came into the masjid and he saw what was going on and he turned around and he went back up. And so after the Prophet was done, he said, should I not tell you about these three men? He said, the first one, which is the one that got in the halqa, he said, he sought refuge with Allah and Allah gave him refuge. Meaning, like, he's coming. That's the adab. He's like, what are y'all doing? We are learning. Okay, I want in. Let me in. Because I want to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. And then the Prophet said, and the second one, astahya min Allah. The second one, he was bashful from Allah. Meaning that he didn't want to, I want to be able to leave too. I don't know how long y'all gonna be. I don't know what kind of commitment that has to do with the adept also. He said the Lord bashful from him. Because the Lord will come to you the way you go with him. If you strive for the deed, the Lord is coming back at you. If you scared, you are scared. You shouldn't be scared when it comes to khayr. No, a lot of times Muslims are scared to make commitments. I don't want to commit. I want to be here. You see me. Maybe I might get down with it. If it's successful, I can say I was there. Even the kids know that's funny. But I don't have to do the work. I know that game. We all know that game. But anyway, Prophet said that one, Astahab, and Allah, that he was bashful with Allah was bashful for him. And the third one, the Prophet said, he turned away from Allah, and Allah turned away from him. Mm-hmm. And the third one came in, okay, you know what, I'm not really about that. Because it's important, you know, especially when it has to do with knowledge, learning, you know. So brothers and sisters, we should be careful to take our adab from Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam, our adab from the kitab, because part of our faith, like the Prophet said, inni bu'ithtu li utammima makarim al-akhlaq, aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullahu li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al-muslimin min kulli dhanbin wa astaghfiru innahu huwa ghafurur rahim rabbana ghafur lana. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Brothers and sisters, my first advice is to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says, O you believe, attaqu Allah wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yuti' Allah wa rasulahu faqad faza فوزاً عظيماً. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منا والأموات وألف بين قلوبنا واجعل في قلوبنا الإيمان والحكمة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. ونصلي ونسلم ونبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل وإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. يذكر الله عظيم يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيم الصلاة يرحمكم الله. Thank you.